right, did you find the book of Acts? How many of you found the book of Acts yet? Okay, one person up there. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Actually, no, the Lord changed his mind. Verse 19. Chapter 19. Sometimes he does change his mind. Very seldom, though. If you bug him enough, he'll change his mind in some things. Like, you know, you ask him to help you with stop eating a cake at night or something. You know, he'll, well, I ate cake yesterday. We had cake. My wife and I had cake. My daughter had a wonderful event here in the city, and we were able to celebrate with her. You know, she's in a different kind of business, not a Christian business, but she's in a business. And so she was in here doing some business. So we were able to go with her and be there. Some of you came, and were able to afford it. It cost money. How many know that things cost money? It's not free. It's not free, right? So anyway, we're able to go and enjoy that. So I had a wonderful time. I was just so proud. I'm still crying this morning from all the wonderful things that happened, that is happening to her. We're seeing her blossom into a wonderful singer-songwriter, and we hope to see her next year. She's going to be working on her album this year, and maybe waiting for a time that she'll get into a different area. And to, you know, she's in the music business, the music business of Canada. So she's recording music. You could get her on Spotify and different things like that. But we won't talk about her. She's actually flew to, where'd she go, Mexico? That kid is flying everywhere. One time she said to me, Daddy, I'm going to, I forget where that, United Kingdom. Where's that place over there? Arabs, the United Arab, whatever. It's a kind of a Dubai. I'm going to Dubai. So it was like Christmas, during Christmas, New Year's. She said, I didn't want to scare you. Well, now you tell me I can't do anything. Anyway, you know, kids, we met a lady yesterday at the airport, and she was, you know, seeing her daughter off. And you know, you get old. Your kids never, don't care how old they are, you're still your kids. So they're your seed, and you're still, God says you bless your seed. He didn't say until you're 18. That's the law, says certain things. But God's word always is the same. Your kids are your kids. If you could be like 65 years old, your grandmother still calls you, your dad will still call you your kid. So, amen. I go back home, I'm one of the younger ones, and so they still think I'm a kid. But that's how things are in the world. But around here, I'm the oldest member in our team, so they listen to you when you're older, more. I'm going to teach you something in a few minutes here. Our topic is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our title is, Have You Received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? That's a word directly came out of the scripture. So our text is found in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them, so it says there, no, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. This is Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. The idea I want to get across to you right now in this whole session, and the point is this. This is the point of what I'm trying to get across to you, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or what we call the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is the doorway into the supernatural. It's the doorway into the supernatural. It's an extra something that God gives you. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not baptized the Holy Spirit, there's something you need, you're neglecting to receive. If Jesus said it, if Jesus offers it, if the apostles spoke about it, the four apostles who wrote their, you know, gospels, and if the prophets talked about it, there's got to be something to it. You know, maybe your denomination didn't teach it. My denomination never taught it. They simply thought if you received the Holy Spirit, the bishop would just pray for you and that you received it. And so that's what we were taught. As an introduction, let me just say further here, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19, verse 2, the Apostle Paul asked the believers there at the church there, or the beginning church at Ephesus, that was in Ephesus, this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we haven't received any Holy Spirit. We didn't even know there's any Holy Spirit. Well, most people, denominations, different places, they don't really know that there is any Holy Spirit to receive. Most people think I got all the Holy Spirit that there is because I'm a Christian. And there is a subsequent encounter with God called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about it to his disciples. And the apostles who went around ministering spoke this over to the people. You see this in the book of history here, in the book of Acts. Why did Paul ask this question to them since they were already saved or already born again? They had the Spirit in them. The understanding, theologically speaking, is that all believers do have the Holy Spirit in them. So everyone that's born again, you have the Spirit of God in you already. You are born again. The Spirit of God lives inside you. But there's something else called the baptism. There's something else called the baptism or another experience. Because you can't be saved without the Spirit of God residing inside you as a believer. And this brings us to another question. Is there another experience after being born again with God, with the Holy Spirit, that we should have? Is there another experience that we should have? Apparently so, because Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, talked about it. So, is there another experience after being born again with God in that fashion that we don't know about, that we should know about, that is essential to our spiritual health, that is essential to us? You know, we want more of the Spirit. We want the supernatural. We want that in our lives. So Paul's question to those church, the people there at Ephesus, seemingly is saying to us that there is another experience with God. Since they were already born again, he's asking them again, well, you know, I'm born again. They were believers. You can't be a believer in Christ without having the Spirit of God in you. So this is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Another term used among us is called the infilling of the Spirit. This is subsequent to the experience of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus himself stated to his disciples before he departed from them into heaven, as recorded for us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, let's go and look at it there. It said, Jesus said, John, he's talking about John the Baptist there in his time. John the Baptist, you know, John was Jesus' cousin. He says, John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's telling them in a few days. Acts chapter 1, verse 5 says, so, you know, I'm going to relate to you some story that perhaps some of you already have experienced. And that is, you know, how when I was filled with the Holy Spirit back in the early century, back in the early 80s, you know, some people, you know. Anyway, so I was baptized in the Holy Spirit back there. I had the infilling, which we know of, we call today, being baptized in the Spirit. Years ago, after I became born again, I was asked this question by a friend of mine, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We were born again Christians. He was a Christian. You know, I grew up a good Catholic boy. I went to church every Sunday. I never missed church. If I could get there, I would do it. I would always go. I always believed in God and believed in the Bible, and I went to church. But I was not born again. I didn't have an encounter with Jesus. I went to AA. They told me I had to go and have an encounter with God. And I was running away from church, you understand, because they told me, people told me, my church told me that everything happened to me was God's will. And so I ran away from church. I didn't want to go back to that church because if all the atrocities that happened to me and my family and my ancestry, what happened to me, if that's the kind of God there is, I don't want to serve that kind of God. So I ran far away as possible from God because it didn't make sense to me with all the stuff I went through. So when I came to AA, back again, the same question came back to me, and that is, they told me there that I needed to give my will over to God, and I didn't want to. It was the third step of that, of the book, or at least the steps there. Turn my will and my love over to the care of God as I understood him. And as I understood him, it wasn't a good understanding. That's chapter, you know, the third step there. My understanding was he kept me in poverty, my family in poverty. We were all taken away as kids. My whole ancestry, a whole thing was, you know, we lived in abject poverty. I didn't have, you know, as a teenager, some of you are 16, 17, I didn't have a bed of my own until I was in my teens. Never had a bed of my own. Slept on a floor and coats and what I can find, make my own mattress. I mean, you might not understand this. I never had running water in my home all my life. I was the one that called the water. You know, we didn't have electricity. Didn't have an outhouse to go to the bathroom at night. If I had to go to the bathroom at night, I make sure I kept it till tomorrow. Because you don't want to go in the outside somewhere or in the outhouse because it's so cold. Like some of you don't relate to this, but this is how Pastor Roma lived. And so so I didn't want to go back to that kind of, you know, if that's the kind of God that I have, I don't want to go back to that. And I grew up in a, you know, my home was diminished by alcohol and drugs. My mom had both. She was also a drug addict. My uncle's was a drug addict. He died of drugs in jail. I don't know if it was an overdose or whatever, but anyways, that's the kind of thing I had. And so I didn't want to go back. They told me I had to go back to a belief in God, and I didn't want that. So I struggled with that, giving my life to God. And so this friend asked me later, he says, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So I eventually got born again because I wanted peace in my life. The only way I came to God was I wanted peace. I didn't have peace. Every day I was sober. I had a good house. I had a nice home. I had cars. I had a good experience. I had jobs. I had everything I could, any kid would imagine at my stage of life. But I was still lonely on the inside. I was still hungry. I was still afraid. I just didn't have peace in my life. And so one day I opened the television set and here comes Billy Graham. He said, you can have peace with God today. And I wanted peace. God spoke to me right there. I wanted peace with God. I want something. I didn't have peace in my life. Not the kind of peace God gives. I had other kinds of peace, but not this kind. So I said, okay, God, I need you. I need a Savior. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. And I never heard that in my church, that I can invite Jesus in my life. So I bowed my head. I asked Jesus, come in my life. And boom, boom, just like that, I felt something. I mean, most people didn't feel anything, but I felt something. I felt that there was a dark cloud over me. It was ripped out. And, you know, it says that the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, and you can see it utter, he's quoting the prophet Isaiah, that those that sat in the region of the prison house saw great light. And so at the very moment, light came into me. I didn't realize as a young kid I was depressed all my life. I had oppression all my life. And I cried and cried and cried. It felt so wonderful, so great. I felt heaven came down and kissed me. And I was walking around in this wonderful bubble every day for a while and smoking cigarettes. And God loved me in spite of my smoking cigarettes until I found out that God wasn't really pleased with my cigarettes, so I got rid of them because I wanted to please God. I didn't give it up right away, mind you. Like some of you. God still loves you, but, you know, I can see what cigarettes does. You know, I'm changing. You know, I'm dealing with a very close member of my family who had cancer, and he lost his lung. I pleaded with him like I pleaded with my mom, and she had cancer from her lung cancer because of it. I see them suffer needlessly because of smoking and died in pain and died in agony and died a long death for a smoker. So if you're smoking out there, that's you don't have to have a prophet to tell you. You just have to have a doctor to tell you. This is what's going to happen. 50%, they said, of people who smoke. Anyway, so I got born again. My friend, I met a friend of mine. I was working downtown Port Arthur. He comes in, he says, you know, he prayed with me. Then he brought me around. He said to me, hey, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He's one of these wide-eyed Pentecostals. They want to pray all the time, you know. So I was able to. I said to him, you know what, we're buddies, we're chums and stuff, but I really don't want to, you know. I said, I'm a Catholic, you know, and I'll just pray about it. He said, yeah, I pray about it. He said, you know what, he knew I was Catholic. He says to me, you know, the Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother, she had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She was one of the 120 in the book of Acts chapter 2, and she was one of them. And if she had it, maybe you ought to have one. I said, I'll pray about it. Give me 1 month, I'll pray about it. And I prayed about it every month. Every time, you know, I was a good Catholic boy, so when I went to pray at night, I knelt down every night. I prayed, said my prayers. And I asked God, is this real? Is what this guy is telling me, is this real? I want it. I want what you want to give me. So I prayed about it. So one day he comes and picks me up he bugged me to go to this evening service, Sunday morning service. And he says, come to the church with me. I said, I didn't really want to go. He's my friend. I wanted to please him. And, you know, he was helping me. He'd buy food for me, drive me around, different things. So I went with him. I said, okay, I'll go with you. So I went to the church, and there was a guest speaker that morning in that service, and he's preaching way over on the other side of the tracks, over on the east end of Thunder Bay, Pentecostal, small Pentecostal church. And so I went in there, and I sat in the second row, and, you know, it was a crowded church. There's only six people in there. No, I'm just kidding. But, it was a nice service that morning, guest speaker there, and I sat there listening to the guy. Man, I just was touched by the message there. I was just so happy to be there. You know, when I got born again, I was so happy to go to church. I couldn't wait to go to church when I was born again. I don't know how people are today, but when I got saved, I want to come to church. I look for church every day. And so I went to that morning service, and it was during the time when he said to me, pray about it, pray about that Holy Spirit and all that stuff, and I've been praying. So I came with him to that church service, and that morning, it's okay to talk about this story? Yeah. Okay, sure. Anyway, he says, the service is over, and the minister, he walks on, he comes over to see me. He says, young man, you've been searching for the Holy Spirit. When he said that to me, it's like something in my inward nature jumped up. There was a big amen in there. There was something in there that said, yes, yes. I felt that, you know, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus' mother, and she was pregnant with Jesus, went to visit Elizabeth. And she was also, I believe, in having a baby. I think she was 6 months, I think. But anyway, when Jesus' mother knocked at the door to see Elizabeth, Jesus' cousin's mom, she knocked at the door, and when Mary said hello, and they exchanged something, and she said hello, she said, the baby leaped in my womb. In other words, Jesus leaped in my womb. That's happened to me. Jesus leaped in my womb. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. That's the only way I can describe it. That's the only way I can describe it. Literally, I felt like I was pregnant with a baby, and something inside me jumped up. That's the Holy Spirit inside of me. When the man of God came to me, listen to me. Listen, the Bible says, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and you will be given. So I did that for a whole month. I'm searching for God. And the man of God came to me and said to me, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you? He said to me. And I told my friend, afterwards he walked out of there, I said to me, wow, did you tell that man about what we've been talking about? This is what we call discerning spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The man, by the Holy Spirit, had that in his spirit to tell me that, because it was the Holy Spirit giving me that witness that what I was doing was right and I was on the right track and that I was being led by the Spirit of God. And I'm there, and this was a supernatural encounter. Amen. Nobody else knew what was going on, just me and the man of God there. I don't know if he knew about it, but I knew something was going on. And he said to me, tonight, I'll be praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You come and you'll be filled. I said, I'm going to come. So all that afternoon, I was anticipating, I'm going to go to that service, 6 o'clock in the evening. And, you know, these Pentecostals, they have long services. Yeah, long services, man. You're doing like this several times before a service is over. So anyway, to make a long story short, I went to that service and had the most glorious experience of the Spirit that I ever had. We got called up to the front to pray. And a number of us was there. My sister was there with me. And I'm going to tell you this. You know how we talked about Peter in chapter 10. He said, I went to a trance and God showed him all these things. So during that, I was up there with the people praying. I went into a trance. In other words, I lost consciousness of where I was. I didn't know I was in a church service. I didn't know there was people behind me and that I was up front at the altar and that the pastor was there, that he was talking to us. I didn't know what was going on. I just went out into a trance. I went into the presence, the very presence of Jesus. And I was so engrossed with the presence of God, I lost all consciousness of the people. And I went into this wonderful place. And it was so marvelous. The Bible says, you know, Scripture says, in the presence of God is fullness and joy. So I went in there. I went into that place. And I remember being that I did not want to come out of there. I did not want to come back. I know what my mom said to me when she died. She said, I went up to heaven. She said, when I came back to my body, I did not want to be here. I know what it's like. I went there. I know there's a heaven. I know God's real. I know Jesus is real. I know the Holy Spirit's real. I know that there's my mom's in heaven. I know it's real. Why? Because the Lord showed it to me. So I'm there. And so I heard somebody speaking. As I was coming out, it's like coming out of anesthesia. I guess, your conscience comes back to you, right? And so it was like I was suspended in this whole thing until a certain time when the Holy Spirit started to descend from me. And I could hear somebody praying in this wonderful language. And then I noticed it was me praying. I was praying in this language. Let me tell you something, other story. Let me just kick off from that story and go to another story. I was in the Kenora. God took me to Kenora, Ontario. I was a brand new Christian. Just graduated high school, college, and I got a job in Kenora, where I didn't want to go to. I had 4 places that I could apply. And I ended up there. I said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but please, I don't want to go to Kenora for work. And guess where I went? Well, Kenora, right? So I ended up in Kenora, and I'd go to church on Wednesdays and Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and I was brand new in the Lord, just young in my early 20s, and I've gone there, and so one night I've had some of these experiences. I'm sitting there with the church, you know, at this church everybody sat when they sang. Somebody played the piano and rock out everybody, you know. We all sat down there and sang songs. And nobody ever stood up. But in this one service we had, I was standing in there with the rest of the people. We're all standing and worshiping. And I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I wish I could sing. I would just sing to you. You know. And I'm lifting up my hands, talking to the Lord in the service between me and God having this intimate time. You know, when worship time, you ought to talk to Jesus when you're worshiping with everybody else. Then I started singing. Then I heard a nice voice. And that voice was me. Man, did I ever sound good. I'm singing out really good there. Everybody's singing, Matt. I'm enjoying his voice. Wow, what a wonderful voice. I told myself, I said, man, I can sing. And the Lord said to me, it's me. And you know, it just shows me that you can do whatever, what God wants you to do, you can do. So I know for a fact I can sing if the Holy Spirit's on me. I know some of you need the Holy Spirit on you right now. Anyways, we'll go back to another story. Come back to Thunder Bay. That was ahead. That was a story further ahead along this line. So I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I heard this person praying in tongues. It was me. I came out of it, and I realized I'm in this church service. And I had the most glorious encounter with the Lord. So wonderful, so intimate, so sweet, so beautiful. I didn't want to leave it. And I had other experiences like that before, when the Holy Spirit came and deposited an anointing on me to minister. I had that encounter with Jesus while I was alone in Kenora, when I was reading Smith Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith, where the Spirit of God came inside of me, and I knew I could just do anything. I knew I could do anything God tells me to do. I was just, come on, I can do whatever. What do you want me to do? And I realized today it's called the gift of faith. It's called the gift of faith. Every once in a while, it could come upon me, and I could do whatever God tells me to do. Start a Bible school. Okay, start a Bible school. And then when that anointing lifts, you say, you come back to the normal, right? So, you know, the next day I drove back to Kenora, Ontario, because I had to go to work. It was a late service. I had a few hours of sleep. I got up early in the morning. I had to be at work for 8:30, so I left here. You know, didn't sleep very much that night. And I'm driving to Kenora, Ontario, just so happy. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell everybody, na 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 na, I got the Holy Spirit. You didn't get it. So that's the way I was feeling, like, you know, just happy, happy. And I'm not everybody wanted to hear that. And at that Pentecostal church, I saw everybody there that, you know, like a kid with a new toy, like, I got the Holy Spirit. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. And they all looked at me really strange. They said, you're too enthusiastic, young man. You'll be just like us sooner or later. But I didn't want to be like them. I wanted to stay the way I was. I wanted to be so excited about Jesus every day. You know, we all go through that, you know. But anyway, I began to tell people about it. And they didn't really like it. So I came back to Thunder Bay. And I went to school there at the college. And I had a professor who was a marriage and family counselor. He was teaching us marriage and family as one of our courses in our program that we were having, and he taught us different things. And I was so happy to tell him, because he's a minister of the gospel in Thunder Bay and a pastor in the Thunder Bay. So I'm so happy to tell him. I thought everybody is going to be excited about this. So I went up to say, you know what? I said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke with tongues and had a wonderful time and all that, you know. And he says to me, oh, that's done away with it. You can't have that anymore. There's no such thing as that. But let me tell you, before, when I was driving to Kenora, I'm so happy, I heard a voice said to me, that never happened to you there. And for a second, it was so real that it didn't happen to me, because see, the devil come and try to steal from you whatever God gives you. I learned this from Brother Hagin. He said this for years. Whatever you get spiritually can be stolen from you. If it's healing, if it's whatever it is that God gave you, the devil come back and he try to steal it from you again. If it's salvation, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, healing, whatever it is, he'll come back and try to steal it back from you again. He's a thief and a robber, and he knows exactly how to take from you. So I'm driving down the road, and the devil says to me, you never had that experience. That was just something that, you know, that's just whatever, you know, he explained it away to me. And I said, yeah, Yeah. And for a little while, I was convinced. And that's the same kind of thing when he came to in the garden, when he convinced God's children to turn away. And that's how he does to you. He'll turn you away. He'll sound so intellectually fine and wonderful, and he'll turn you away and follow him. And so I said, no, I had that experience. And I remember this. Now, Jesus, at the, I believe it's the third chapter there in the Matthew, where Jesus was baptized in water by John. And he came out of the water, and the Bible says that the heaven was opened, and the voice from heaven says, and a dove came upon his head, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And he had a tremendous encounter with the Spirit of God at the Jordan River. No denying at all. And then he comes to Jesus afterwards. Jesus did have that experience. He comes to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. No, listen. Jesus didn't say, didn't you see I had that experience back there? Jesus said, it is written. He used the word of God. But I knew in my experience, I knew it is written. Acts 1:8. Amen. I will see, I'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And verse Acts, he said, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I had that experience. I had the scriptures for it to back it up so I wouldn't go back. So Jesus, the devil came to Jesus, tried to convince him that he didn't have that, what he had back there. But he did, was filled with the Spirit as well. He went with power after that. And after that experience from the Jordan, Jesus did miraculous things, didn't he? Up until that time, he never did one miracle. But after he was filled with the Spirit, the Bible says he came with power and he did miraculous things. The door to the supernatural is waiting for you. Yeah, you can remain alone in your home by yourself, but it's better to come out once in a while. Amen? Instead of hiding in your home. You know, I'm a kind of guy that likes to stay home. I'd be happy with just putting my favorite socks and just hanging around eating Bannock, whatever. Just happy to be alone. I was telling somebody, you know, we were talking over there at the event the other night, that really I'm a shy guy. But I learned to be loud. I went to school. I learned how to speak. I learned how to preach. I learned how to have presentation. I learned how to deal with anxiety when I came up here. I know how people think. I learned all these things, but you still have to live it out. Because, you know, you think people look at me and say, you're not a shy guy. Listen, I know me. you don't really know the real me. But the Lord knows me. So it took a long time. And I stressed out every single day when I became a pastor. I stressed out every service. I stressed out before service. Because I didn't want to go up there. You know? God calls people and changes them. And he had to change me. I'm really happy he's changing you. Amen? Some of you are stingy. I'm just kidding. Amen. But anyway, you want to hear the rest of the story? You come back next week. Anyway. So, I'm in the classroom talking to my professor. I said, you know, I had this wonderful experience. I spoke with tongues. I had this glorious heavenly experience. And he says to me, no, that didn't happen. It was just like the way the devil told me on the way down the road. He put water, cold water on my fire, and he tried to talk me out of it. And we were talking. I didn't want to argue with him. Who was I to argue with? A PhD, a pastor, a minister of the gospel in the city. Who was I? Little old me to talk to him about some theological matter about the Bible. I knew what I had, but I couldn't talk to him. So I backed away. And he invited me to his church. Do you think I'd go to the church? There's no way I'm coming to his church. He said, you ought to come to my church. I said, I ain't coming there. But I did just because I loved him. I went to visit, you know. I knew what I had, and I was not going to be there. And so, praise God. So I looked for people that had this experience the same as me, who understood. So that was just for me. I wanted to tell you that testimony because some of you might have had this testimony, and you might have had some opposition to this. You know, so some people say, yeah, that did happen, but it's not for you today. They don't have that anymore. They don't have the baptism anymore. You can't have that. That was just for them, the 120. But then you see that repeated over and over and over and over and over in the book of Acts. You know this scripture where in Acts chapter 19 in verse 2, when Paul came to these people at Ephesus, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So they were believers already. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And the Bible says, Paul laid his hands upon them and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. So we see in Acts chapter 19, the Holy Spirit that they were to have came with tongues and prophecy, or the gifts of the Spirit. That's the way they were supernatural. Well, I wanted that. I wanted tongues. Don't you want tongues? Amen. Well, I was just looking for tongues. I just wanted the Holy Spirit. But they came free. Do you remember that earlier? People used to say, you know, you can buy shoes, and every pair of shoes has tongues on them. Right? They're free. You don't have to pay extra for tongues. Say, I want a pair of shoes, but make sure they have tongues in them. Eh? Come on, some of you ought to laugh a little bit. This is wonderful, right? So when you go to the store, next time you ask them, I want shoes with tongues. Amen. Okay. I mean, some of you, you know, okay, so I'm sorry I'm disturbing you a little bit. I'm glad I'm not that religious. But I can't be too normal either. You got to respect me. Right? So I respect that, Roma. It's funny. I was called to speak to a bunch of elders. They said, oh, there's a few elders. You're going to speak to some elders. So I would say, well, no problem. So I showed up Friday to the Prince Arthur Hotel. Was it Thursday? Wednesday, excuse me. See where I am? See, that's why you need a wife, some of you. Anyway, I went there, and I got there, and I walked in there, and the place is just packed with elders. They're just stuck all over on the walls, everywhere, just elders everywhere. So I got in there, so afraid to talk to these guys. You know, what have I got to offer these guys? They got lots of solid experiences. So, and I said, I'll go back home. I forgot something. So I came back to the office and got more material and brought it to them. And so anyway, went in there, and some of them were looking at me like this. I've seen this guy before. What's he going to do now? Anyway, this lady says to me, listen, I recognize your voice. And when I looked at you, I recognize you. He said, you know, my dad watched a program for a number of years, and he lived out in the country, and I'd go visit my dad. And he said, every Saturday, faithfully, he's there sitting there watching you. And he said he felt so blessed watching the program. He said he learned so much from you. But he's passed away now. But I saw you there. He said, I just really appreciate you. He said, you bring the message to us in a non-judgmental way. You're able to give us the message there like that. And a number of people I heard spoke to me during this time. So it's nice to be able to present the gospel in a way where people can receive it. And you're not preaching to people like you're trying to, like this guy said, you know, you come here to be encouraged. You come here to have something put in you. You know, so I believe that's what it is. You guys are not the dirty, rotten sinners. Well, few of you are, but not everybody. Not everybody. Okay, I don't want to include everybody. I mean, somebody might have to get saved today. We were all the same way, right? Paul said, I'm the worst. I'm the chiefest of all sinners. So, but, you know, You know, we need to be this baptism. And I could show you scripture after scripture. Over here, the church of Samaria, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to itemize these so that you can go home and study this. And the church of Samaria was baptized in the Holy Spirit. They accepted the good news about Jesus and were born again. So Jerusalem sent the men of God to minister to them, and they laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said that they received. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 to 20, talked about verse 18 says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given to them, when they laid their hands upon them, this man, that he wanted that same gift. He wanted to be able to do that too. He said, offer them money. Give me some money so that I could do what you're doing. And he saw something. He wanted that. And they were filled. And then we see another event here in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, that while Peter was preaching to these guys, the Holy Spirit fell upon those people while they were listening. And the Bible says those Jewish people who came with Peter were amazed at the gift. Everybody say gift. This verse is 45. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured upon the Gentiles too. This is a gift. A free gift that you can have. You know? So thank God for the free gift of the Spirit. And we thank God for that. And the Bible says, on and on and on, we could see incident after the church at Ephesus, of course, had this experience as well, when they received the Jesus Christ, they were filled with the Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. He knows. He knows that you need this more than ever in these days. Verse 1-8 of Acts says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive this power to live for him, to minister for him, whatever he calls you to do. You won't be shy. You'll be bold when the Spirit of God needs you to be bold. You'll minister. The Bible says, there's three baptisms that we should concern ourselves. First, the baptism is when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of believers everywhere. He takes your, when you get born again, he takes you and he dunks your spirit into the body, and you become one with the body everywhere. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3 says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is not the kind of baptism I'm talking to you about right now. This is a different baptism. The word baptized means to put into, to fully immerse, to put into, to dunk into. That's what it means in the original language. So the Spirit of God will take your spirit and he'll put you into the body of Christ. And so he says that to the Romans as well. Romans 6:3, we're baptized into Christ. We're put into the Christ, put into the body of Christ. Second baptism, the ministers of the gospel will baptize you into the water as a sign of our dying to this old life and to the new life. They take you, you go baptized in the water, and you go down into the water, you come up. It's a sign that you die to this world and you come up brand new again. And Jesus commands us to baptize people. He commands you to be baptized. He's showing you whatever happened to you spiritually, he's showing you physically. By this baptism, that this is what happened to you. You're testifying, I'm born again. I got a new life. And the third baptism is the one that we're talking about today, and that is that Jesus. So the first one is the Holy Spirit baptizes you in the water. The second one, men of God baptizes you in water. The third one, Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And so in Matthew 28:19, the Bible says, go baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He commanded them to baptize the people in the water, which we do here too. So I want to give you one example here. Philip, a man of God who baptized someone, a believer, a leader, a government worker, baptized them in water. It says here in the 8th chapter, verse 36 to 38, now they went down the road, they came to the water, and a eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, verse 37, if you believe, say if you believe. If you believe with all your heart, you may. You know, you believe with your heart, right? That means you believe with your spirit, your inner man. You believe without any natural indication. You believe with your heart. He said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the only way you can believe, is with your heart. You can't believe with your mind. You can't believe with your feelings. You believe with your heart. So, verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. That's the water baptism. So that eunuch, that government worker, business guy there, he was hungry for God, and he got born again. He was reading the Bible. God led this guy, Philip, to this chariot, and he said to him, what are you reading? He says, I'm reading this. What is this talking about? And Philip explained to him about Jesus, and he got born again, and he got water baptized all at the same time. There's some people, they get baptized in the water first and then get baptized in water in the scriptures. Number three, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit with the power of God so that we can serve him in a supernatural way. Here's John's testimony of Jesus, that Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? With what? With the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's what Jesus does. I want you. Do you want what Jesus wants to give you? Well, you can have this. And you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you can be filled again and 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 filled again afterwards. Because, listen to this. Because in when Paul talked to the church at Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, verse 2, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? He said, we haven't heard. Verse 6 said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Later on, Paul laid hands on them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Years later, he wrote them a letter. He said, to the Ephesians, he wrote them a letter. And in that chapter, chapter 5, I believe it's verse 18. He says, continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually have an infilling, a fresh infilling again. Look like some of you need a fresh infilling again. Amen? Here's Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Mark said it. And here's Matthew saying it. Matthew is quoting John. He said, I baptize you with water, those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone, everybody say someone. Who's that someone? Jesus. Someone is coming who is greater than I am. So much greater that I am not even worthy to his slave to carry his sandals. Praise God. I used to have my cousin say to me, Roma, we missed you last night's game. At the hockey game, right? We're playing hockey. He said, I missed you last night's game. I said, oh yeah, good. He said, oh yeah, you could have carried my skates. He was just joking, right? He said, he will baptize you. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. John the Baptist said that about his cousin. Luke chapter 24:49, and before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said to them, behold, I send my promise. Everybody say promise. Promise. Say gift. Yes. So he's a promise and a gift. We saw that. I send my promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. We see that same expression in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Luke wrote that too. He said, until you be endued with power from on high. You want that power, you need the Holy Spirit. I know Pastor Ken talked to some ministers in the city, and it's no use arguing with anybody. He tried to tell this guy he's an evangelical kid, born again, nice person. Pastor, you know how he can get pretty dogmatic, Pastor Ken. He says to me, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? He tells this guy. Well, yeah, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you speak with tongues? No, I don't speak with tongues. He said, well, you need tongues too. He said, no, I don't need any tongues, but I'm filled. But he's filled only for so much. You want to be filled. You know, You should never go, you know, it tells you in your car, don't go empty, don't go real empty. It'll affect your vehicle, entire vehicle, right? Don't let it go until you just, your car's doing like this. You know, if you use half, go fill it again. Your car's like, huh? I just barely made it to the res. Let's push it some more. Can that hose stretch over here? Anyways, Pastor Ken was fighting with this one guy. I'll tell you, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. He's a little filly, a little bit of guy too. But anyways, no use arguing with anybody. Scripture is scripture. But you know what? I don't know why would you want to resist something like that. Why would you want to? I mean, it's free. And it's power to live for Jesus. If you want to do great things for God, just do it. I mean, you could do a lot of good things on your own. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't have the Holy Spirit. They've got businesses. They can do a lot of things, write books and everything else. But to really do something supernatural for God and to just be empowered by God in some way. You know, I think about myself and how puny myself is. And I think about, you know, that I impact people. And I wouldn't listen to me. I look at myself on TV and say, oh, what a pitiful guy. I look at myself. Don't you do that to yourself sometimes? Look at yourself, you know? Or you say, oh, what a wonderful guy. Look at that guy. No wonder he gets people saved. Look at him. No, but you know what? This is an experience you need. And if you don't receive today, do what I did. Pray about it. Pray, Mom, give yourself some time, and then you can decide whatever. But don't leave here without it, amen, without the experience, without being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to show you on television. Maybe we should. But you know what? The Bible says that that people saw them being filled. They saw them being filled. They heard them speak with tongues. They saw them being filled. And any place you see. But most people today, like, we're not going to put you on television. You know, it's a private matter. And I know that when we do stuff like that, when we promise here that we shut the TV off when you come to the front. Or we just shoot it up front. Everybody else is going, I want to get this. Who's that again? I thought he had that last time. But you could have it again. Right? How many of you had it before? I mean, I'm not married. Just, I want some more. You know, my mom was the first one, you know, to receive the Holy Ghost. So she, anytime, you know, we have Bible study, we just have a really regular Bible study. My mother's vibrating away. One time we were having a little Bible study, and she gets up and she starts dancing. He falls against the window and busts the window up. Really thin window. Real, we say Indian house, eh? A little thin window. He said, never mind having drunks at your house. My mother fell the Holy Ghost. He'd break the whole house up. You know, Wednesday, when I spoke at the Friendship Center or the elders meeting there with all the people there, and you know, we're pretty casual with some of the people I know working in the city that they're not my persuasion of Christian or not even Christian. They come up to me. One guy speaks to me, says to me, hey, this is not Saturday Night Live. This is not Saturday Night Live, he says to me. Anyway, because everybody's laughing. But anyways, let's go ahead and stand up.